Surrender is not a position of weakness. It's a position of trust. So when we sing, "I surrender all," it is an exclamation of our trust in God. If you came in late after the announcements, you're going to want or you're going to need an index card. You need something to write with. If you don't have something to write with, I located the pens. So raise your hand and someone will get you something to write with, and they will get you something to a card if you need. Before I start the sermon, just wanted to share some really exciting news. there's a couple that have been worshiping with us for several months, and just a delightful couple who all already have been participating in the work here at Reynoldsburg, and they shared recently with an elder that they wanted to place membership. So saw them here today, and I just wanted to introduce and announce that couple. Tommy and Kaylee Tan, you want to stand up for just a second? They are placing membership here with the body, so welcome to the family. You can sit. I always feel like I make people feel uncomfortable doing that, but you know, we just want you to know that we love you and we receive you and look forward to continuing to serve with you, and however we can be a better family to you, please let us know. Started a series last week on prayer, 28-day prayer challenge starting last Sunday. I invited you all, encouraged you all to set your phone alarms for 3:20. I don't know about you, but every day I'm surprised by this alarm, even though I know it's coming. I don't know how many of you all have done it so far. The first day was actually last Sunday. I was so, I don't know if you got it last week, but I wasn't feeling well last week, and I went home and went to sleep. And if you have an iPhone, the alarms on the iPhone, they are designed to wake you up. Promptly at 3:20, I was scared to death by this alarm. And at first I said, "Why is my alarm going off at 3:20? And then it hit me. It's time to pray. That was cool to kind of wake up and say a quick prayer. But maybe the coolest instance was at 3:20 on this past Friday. My wife and I went to a funeral of a college friend up in the Canton area, and as we were driving home, both of our alarms went off at the same time, and we said a prayer in the car, which was kind of cool. Not the person who was driving, but the other person prayed. Christy prayed while I was driving. I actually did close my eyes for a couple seconds, but she didn't know that. Sorry. the idea is just to get us into a regular habit. If just for 28 days of regular prayer, hopefully that builds a habit of just at some particular time during the day. You know, the Jews and other religions, many have like set times of prayer, and it's just baked into their experience to pray regularly. You know, two times a day, three times a day. Sometimes Christians, even though we have this power at our disposal, like we can pray anytime we want, we often don't use it. And so I'm hoping that we will generate again a habit of prayer. I've shared many times that I learned to pray from my older sister, Michelle. I'm still her younger brother. She's still my big sister. And as a young kid, I can remember this at like 3-4 years old. I just adored my sister so much, and I wanted to sleep in her bedroom. Like, she had her own room, and then my brother and I shared a room. but I always wanted to sleep in her room, and she would let me sleep in her room. But before we went to sleep, She got on her knees and I got on my knees and we prayed. And I learned how to pray from just watching my sister. It wasn't so much that she was like telling me how to pray, but through her prayer, she was showing me how to pray. And she would start every prayer off with a prayer that many of you are probably familiar with. And again, I know I've told this story before. She would pray this prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. She would always start her prayer with that. And then she would go off and start praying some other words. So I would watch her. She would pray that part. And then she would start praying. And to my young ears, this is what it sounded like. I couldn't make out what she was saying. So then she would say, okay, she called me Ski. She would say, okay, Ski, your time to pray. I said, okay, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to take it, or I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, or to take. That's what I thought she was saying. I don't know. I thought it was tongue speaking. I don't know. Later on, I learned that she started off her prayer with that phrase, and then she started praying for other people. So that next part was when she started praying for mom and for dad and for me and for brothers and her friends and for other situations. You know, as I look at her prayer, it's interesting that the first part of her prayer, it was about her. It was personal. It was pertaining to her self-interest. And after praying for herself, she moved to praying for others. And thinking back on what I learned about prayer from my sister, there are times when we pray that we just need to get personal. That is perfectly fine with God when we pray. Get personal. Might sound a bit rudimentary, like pray for yourself. I mean, everybody knows that. Pray for yourself. But I wonder if it's easier to pray other people's stuff than to pray about our own stuff. We pray for other people's issues while discounting our own issues. And so during this season of prayer, I want us to be reminded that when we pray, let's keep it personal. I want to read a psalm, Psalm 17. Psalm 17. My heading in my Bible says it's a prayer for deliverance from persecutors, a psalm of David, Psalm 17. It says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress. As for what others do by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Guard me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity with their mouths. They speak arrogantly. They track me down. Now they surround me. They set their eyes to cast me to the ground. They are like a lion eager to tear, like a young lion lurking in ambush. Rise up, Lord. Confront them. Overthrow them. By your sword, deliver my life from the wicked. from mortals by your hand, O Lord, from mortals who portion in life is in this world. May their bellies be filled with what you have stored up for them. May their children have more than enough. May they leave something over to their little ones. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I awake, I shall be satisfied beholding your likeness. The book of Psalms is a collection of poems. Sometimes we call them songs. They were indeed sung during times of worship, but they are often and always referred to as prayers. The Psalms contain some of the most honest, authentic, and real expressions from people of faith. In these prayers, the petitioners do not hold back. The language of the faithful is language that is often brutally honest. The most numerous type of psalms are those that were written in the first person singular. In these psalms, the personal pronouns I and me and my are used, and the prayers are specific pleas directed to the Lord on behalf of the petitioner. In these prayers, the petitioner is usually in some type of trouble, or they're experiencing stress, or caught up in a spiritual conflict. Their issues are so dire that they usually begin by begging the Lord to listen to them. Take Psalm 17, the psalm I just read. Listen to how desperate the psalmist is, and note how serious the situation is. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right. And then after this, the psalmist invites the Lord to search his heart, which is a common theme and mood throughout the Psalms of a petition, as if pray to get the Lord's attention. The psalmist now unloads on that which is aching him. Show your steadfast love in verse number 7. Guard me and protect me from the wicked and my enemies. Verses 8 and 9. And the remainder of the psalm goes on to describe the plight of the wicked or his enemies, all the while asking the Lord to act on his behalf. Vindicate me. Guard me. Psalms like Psalm 17 suggests that while these psalms were experienced in community and during worship gatherings, the thoughts behind the words originated and were often composed in the context of a personal situation where they are not ashamed to take their personal stuff to the Lord. I'm having a tough time just dealing with people. Take that personal stuff to the Lord. I feel like the focus, like I'm the focus of just unfair treatment and people's, I'm like the center of people's ire. Take that personal stuff to the Lord. I don't feel safe. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm depressed. Take that personal stuff to the Lord. And on throughout the Psalms, we get a taste of what it means to just get personal, keeping it personal with God. Psalm 37, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. I just read the version from the NIV. I believe the New Revised Standard Version was on the screen. But what you see is someone crying out to God in anguish, in spiritual pain and in physical pain. For the writer of this psalmist, they believe that their physical outcomes was related to their spiritual outcomes. And when they were dealing with something spiritual, when they were dealing with something sin, they often felt that the physical pain that they were dealing with was a result of their sin. And I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm not saying if your back is hurting, my back is killing me right now. I'm going through some back issues right now. I don't know that that's connected to my sin. It's probably connected to the fact that I'm overweight and I got a bad back. But there are times when the pain doesn't subside, that there are times that I start thinking, God, what have I done? You ever been that way? You ever go through something and you start thinking, it's got to be because I sinned. It's got to be because I did something wrong. I can feel that. And I can see this psalmist in Psalm 37 getting personal and taking that real issue and being honest and taking it to God. God, will you give me some relief? I'm bent over. I'm hurting. I know I messed up, but please relieve me from this pain. Church, it's okay to keep it real with God. God can handle it. He can handle us being real and being honest and keeping it personal. There are numerous examples of the people of God getting personal with God. Why? Quite frankly, it's because there's a deep belief that in most situations, in all situations, God is really the only one that really knows what's going on. You know, the young folks says, you know, God knows what's up. God knows what's going on. And that's why we go to God. We might try to express our feelings to others. And there are some who can offer sympathy and a level of empathy. But only God truly and fully knows. Only God knows what my back really feels like. Only God knows what my friend Bill feels after losing his wife at age 45 and now is left to take care of four special needs kids by himself. He can share with us, like, yeah, Dion, it's pretty rough. But only God knows the hurt and the pain of that searing loss. God knows the real deal. There is no escaping God. As such, there is no reason to fake it. When it comes to prayer, keep it real. Keep it personal. A few weeks back in another series, we considered the episode in the life of Jesus when he was approaching death. It was an intense moment for Jesus, and he had a lot on his mind. And in this intense moment, Jesus knew there was only one place he could go. So he withdrew, which was his custom, to often withdraw to lonely places or solitary places. He took with him some friends on this occasion. He took Peter, James, and John, but he took them and left them, and then he went a ways further to get away. He went to this place, the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was there that Jesus got personal with God. Recalling that story from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, says, then Jesus said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Have you stopped to just really to visualize that scene? He threw himself on the ground. I've seen some kids in grocery stores ask for that toy or that candy, and mom and dad says no, and I've watched kids throw themselves on the ground, and it's something that gets in my bones, and I'm like, if that kid doesn't get up, I'm gonna do something if that parent don't do so. I've seen folks throw themselves on the ground in grief. I had a friend who lost his wife tragically once. She was working out and working on a treadmill. She stepped off the treadmill. She was working out with a friend, and the story is she passed out and she died right there. And at the hospital, his best friend came in to see him after learning that she had passed away. And my friend who met the other friend shared with me that what happened was that this guy who had just lost his wife just fell to the ground in grief. So do you see Jesus just throwing himself to the ground and praying and getting personal? Getting personal. Even on the cross, church, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, there's a moment on the cross, there were some interactions he was having with some folks who were down beneath, but there was this moment where he cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Real, personal. Folks who are desperate for God's intervention are not ashamed to get personal with God. There are some things in our lives that we're grieving about, or some things that we are desperate about. It's okay. We may even find ourselves like Jesus and like others, throwing ourselves to the ground, begging for God's intervention. One more psalm to consider, Psalm 42. A beautiful psalm that we sing, many songs that come right out of this psalm. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession in the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you and the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. Ah, the waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully? Because the enemy oppresses me as with a deadly wound in my body. My adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Personal, real, honest. This morning, I want to invite us into a space to get personal. And here's the thing. You don't have to get personal with me. You don't have to be brutally honest with me, or don't need to get personal and brutally honest with the person next to you or behind you. I want to invite you into a space to get personal, honest, brutally honest with with God. Just a few moments, I'm going to invite us all into a period of prayer, 3 to 5 minutes. And I know that there are a ton of prayer requests on your heart. You know, people are in the hospitals, people are sick, and you know, travel. I mean, there's a bunch of things. Church, there's an election on Tuesday. Election is something that gives me this forever, like, twitch in my shoulder, because it's the thing that brings out the worst in us, not the best in us. And so I know many of you would say amen to this. Can't wait till Tuesday is over. Can't wait. If you want to pray about this Tuesday in the election, fine. That's great. That's a great prayer topic. But it's not the topic that I want you to spend most time on in the next several moments. I want you to be indulgent. I want you to indulge by focusing on yourself for a moment. Now, I'm not telling you to do this all of the time. I'm not even telling you to do this most of the time. I am telling you that there are times that we need to get personal with God. And we need to focus on us for a moment. Maybe a moment of throwing ourselves to the ground and pleading with him in desperation. So, this is what I want you to do. Everyone has an index card and something to write with. I want you to write down something that's important to you. I want you to write down perhaps your greatest need, not someone else's greatest need, not what the world's greatest need is. The world's greatest need is Jesus. I'll answer that prayer. I want you to write down your greatest need, or maybe your biggest obstacle right now, or maybe the sin that just has you entangled right now. You just can't shake it. Maybe it's an addiction, or maybe it's an attitude, or maybe it's a burden. The word burden literally means something that you are not supposed to carry. So maybe that's what you need to write down on this card and express it however you need to express that. So go ahead, write that down. Greatest need, biggest burden. Maybe it's something, it's the greatest question that you have. Maybe it's like right now your mind is so cloudy from stuff, and that's like, maybe you're just in a chaotic situation, or maybe you're in danger. I don't know. Just write that down. Don't share with the person next to you. This is for you and God, because right now we're going to get personal with God. Then after you write that down, I just want to invite you, if you're at home, just find something next to you to write on, a piece of paper, get a pen, and write that down. And after you write that down, I'm going to leave the stage. I don't want you to focus on me. I don't want you to look at me. I don't want you to look at the screen. I want us all to get personal with God, to get honest with God. And I want us all to pray to God. And I want us to get used to being able to use personal programs or pronouns like I and me and my. God, I need you. God, I surrender all. God, I put my hope in you. God, I am stuck. God, I am sinful. God, I am addicted. God, I am in trouble. Church, let's get personal. Lord, hear my prayer. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this song, if there's maybe you found this difficult to pray. It happens. And so maybe you need us to pray for you or pray with you. And that's perfectly fine too. So as we sing this song, if you need us to pray for you, you can come forward and let us know, or you can let someone know next to you or near you that I need you to pray for me. Let's take advantage of this power of prayer.